Psalm 119, and we're closing up shop tonight. I'm excited to start next week a series on Ephesians, and we've entitled the series right out of the text of Ephesians, I believe it's 1:7, and that is the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. I don't know about you, there aren't many books of the Bible that I enjoy more than Ephesians. It's such a beautiful breakdown of doctrine and duty, the first three chapters versus the second three chapters, and it's just so rich of a book, and God has a lot to talk to His church about there, and a good church there at Ephesus, and so Lord willing, we'll probably be in Ephesians for, I don't know how long, amen, It'll be a little bit of time. There's a lot in there. Amen. So let's stand. Psalm 119. It's page 815 in my Bible. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is in yours. But Dr. Malone always used to say, he'd tell us the text, and then he'd say, now that's page number 715 in your old Schofield Bible. Amen. You say that all the time. Recommended the Schofield, and so it's a good Bible, by the way, amen, if you don't have a study Bible. It'll walk you through the doctrines of the Bible. Many great preachers cut their teeth on that old Schofield, amen. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 169 through 176 and close out tonight. We'll do a bit of review going through the Hebrew alphabet and our lessons there, and just kind of spend a little time here in the Word of God. As is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse 176? Let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy Word. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy Word. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of Thy word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Let Thine hand help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments. Father, please bless Your Word now to our hearts. Thank You for this tremendous chapter of the Word of God. Bless it to our hearts tonight. And thank You for all that You give in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you see your list there, and I went easy on the writing tonight, amen. You don't have to write a lot tonight. As we close our study of Psalm 119, amen, following the Hebrew alphabet, and we have all 22 letters and all 23 lessons listed for you here, and I'll just go by way of review. Aleph, the first lesson there was a man of the Word. And how important it is that we be a man or a woman of the Word. What a great compliment that is. I have a book in my library, a biography by a fellow named E. Schuller English. And he wrote it about a man named G. Campbell Morgan. And it's simply entitled, A Man of the Word. Boy, that'd be a good thing to have as your epitaph, amen, a man or a woman of the Bible. And so that's, of course, verses 1 through 8. Then our second lesson, the Hebrew letter Beth, and that's hiding God's virtuous, valuable word in your heart. Verse 11 there, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. One of the greatest desires for my children is that they would truly, truly, truly hide God's Word in their heart, and it would have an effect in their lives. I met a man today. I appreciate Rick and Jan Talbert that have been coming to our church, sit back there back by the sound booth, and he asked me for coffee today, and he said, it's not just for coffee, Pastor. He said, I've got a friend of mine. You preached about it a couple weeks ago, agnosticism. He said, this man's an agnostic, and we got to talking. And praise the Lord. I wish I could tell you, hey, he bowed his head right there, got saved. But we planted some seed. Amen. And we were talking about this idea of what the Word of God can do. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can do miracles in people's lives. If you don't believe that, look back at your life and look what the Word of God has done in your own life. Amen. So that's the second lesson. Third lesson, finding wondrous things in God's Word. And of course, that's verse 18 there. It says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Can I tell you this? That's a great prayer for you before you have your devotions. So, "Open my eyes, Lord. Show me something." You say, well, he wants to show me something anyway. It doesn't hurt to ask. Amen. "Open thou mine eyes." Please, God, show me something from your word. And that's the letter Gimel. Then we have Daleth, number four. And that is God's gleams amid the gloom. A very oft-repeated theme in Psalm 119 is gleam amid the gloom there. Number five, He. And that is pictures of the people of God. And if you look at verses 33 through 40, remember we looked there at different folks that we can see within the Word of God. And then the next one there, 6 and 7 is the Hebrew letter Vah. And that is the deep desires of the psalmist. He shares his deep desires in verses 41 through 48. Then we have Zain. Scriptural hope, and there's no better hope than scriptural hope. Have you ever perhaps given out a prayer request? I think of those of you that are maybe on social media and you give a prayer request, and I'm pretty specific about these things. I say to the beloved of Loomis Park Baptist Church and praying friends. And inevitably, I'll have a lost friend, and I appreciate them. I know what they mean. They say this, hoping for the best. Hoping for, and you know what they mean. They're genuinely sorrowing with you. But they don't have anybody to pray to. They don't have scriptural hope. Ladies and gentlemen, we have scriptural hope. I'm talking about we have Bible hope. We have the promises of God. Amen. And so Zane there, and then Cheth, rejoicing despite ruin. Well, I'll tell you what. When you think about it, and it can be a very convicting thing. My dear friend, Brother R.B. Ouellette, has a statement. I've quoted it so many times. He says, "What you are under pressure is what you are." I'll tell you, that's a convicting statement. What you are under pressure is what you... When everything around us is ruined, can we still rejoice? Can we still rejoice and say, you know what? God hadn't dropped my salvation. The Word of God's still true. You can rejoicing despite ruin. Then our 10th lesson, Teth, we looked at that great song, "It Is Well With My Soul," right out of that text there. "It Is Well With My Soul." Yod, 11, "In Good Company." And that is, of course, verses 73 through 80. Then we looked at verses 81 through 88, Kaf, lesson 12. And there's a phrase there that's used, and it talks about verse 83, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Very interesting lesson there. Then our next lesson, probably one of my favorites of all of them, was Lamed, verses 89 through 96. Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, just between me and the Wednesday crowd, I would not monkey with the Bible. There's a whole crowd out there that's just interested in changing the Bible. I mentioned it last week about this thing recently that the United Church of Christ has put out about the Bible and how it's like a GPS. It's wonderful. It'll get you to where you need to go, but it's occasionally wrong. That's what the Church of Christ says. And I'll tell you what, there is. You read Deuteronomy 4 and you read Revelation 22, there is a serious prohibition and penalty on monkeying with the Word of God. It's God's Word. Can I say this? It's God's Word even when it bothers you. Especially when it bothers you. It's God's holy, perfect Word. Don't monkey with it. Believe it. Do it, amen. And so that's number 13. Number 14, Mem, the scholarly saint of God. And we talked there how God is not against scholarship. God is not against scholarship. But sometimes we get so scholarly that we get smarter than the Bible. And that's certainly a dangerous place to be. Number 15, Nun. We talked about the lamp of the Word of God. Verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank God for the Word of God and its light. And then we talked about number 16, Samesh, trusting and trembling. We can trust and tremble there at God. Trust God and tremble before Him. And then number 17, verses 128 or 121 through 128. That phrase in verse 126 there, it said, "It is time for Thee, Lord, to work." And we came across an impatient psalmist, and that's okay because we're impatient sometimes. God, I need You to work. I need You to work right now. You know, God's timetable and ours don't always get along. And since His is always right, I guess ours sometimes is wrong. And all God's people said, well, that was a quiet amen, but we'll take it, amen. Peh, number 18, the gamut of emotions that we find there in verses 129 through 136. And by the way, in regards to emotions, we get emotional. We're made in the image of God. Did Jesus weep? Yes, He did. Did things upset Him? And as He was there, I think about when He saw Lazarus and how He groaned in His spirit. And God's the one that created our emotions and gives the gamut of emotion. Then Tzadai, number 19 there, the rightness of God's Word, verses 137 through 144. There, of course, we know that He comes to that conclusion that God is right. Verse 144, the righteousness of Thy testimonies is everlasting. Praise God. Then Kuf, we have wholehearted prayer in verses 145 through 152, our 20th lesson there, wholehearted prayer. He said, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, verse 145 says. Then Resh, number 21, life's minor chord, and that is we looked at affliction in verses 153 to 160. Consider mine affliction and deliver me. Just this idea of life does strike minor chords, but those that play the piano and know music know minor chords are part of the beautiful symphonies that have been created. There are some minor chords in there, and we talked about how God needs the dark threads in His weavings too. Amen. He needs those dark threads, and He uses them for our good. Then last week, lesson 22, number 22, we talked about peace in persecution and how we can still have the peace of God despite persecution. And then this week, we're looking at a closing prayer. A closing prayer, verses 169 through 176. So the bottom half here, just our last outline here. The last stanza of this psalmist's song is a final plea for two items. And they've been consistent through the Psalms. Everything revolves around the Word of God. But he has two pleas here, two items. He says, number one, Lord, hear me. Hear me. Have you ever felt like before that the Lord is not hearing you? You felt like you pour out your heart and 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 it's like you don't get an answer. Well, can I say this? Sometimes it's because there's something in the way between us. We need to take care of things. We need to take care of business. We need to take care of sin. Deal with our own sin in my life, in your life, where God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. Psalm 66:18. But he says here, he says, Lord, hear me. Number one, the prayer. We see his prayer in verses 169 and 170. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And so, what is he praying here? He's praying for understanding. He says, let me have understanding of thy word. Boy, we ought to pray that. Amen. The Bible, it's not an easy book. It's not. There are some things that are as plain as day, but there are other things. My heavens, we need the wisdom of God. And the wonderful thing is, that's a prayer that God answers every time. Long as we ask in faith, He says in James 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay? So there he's asking for understanding, but he's also saying, let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. He's not only asking, has supplication there for understanding, but he's given supplication for deliverance, for salvation, saying, please deliver me. And again, this is why I've mentioned this so many times, but this is why many think this is David, because David always in need of deliverance, always in need of the or on the run. And the Bible doesn't say who it is, amen. But the prayer there is for understanding and for deliverance. But then, secondly, number two, not only, Lord, hear me, hear the prayer, but then the promises. The promises. Have you ever made a promise to God? Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. I think about there's a recent story that it's not recent, but the story coming about. There's a book that's been written called Unbroken by a man named Louis Zamperini. It's about a man named Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was an Olympic runner, and he went into the military. He was actually at the Berlin Games. Many of you have heard of that when Jesse Owens really embarrassed Mr. Hitler, didn't he? That a colored man could beat all his Aryans. It's just a beautiful thing to think about, actually. But then Louis Zamperini, he went into the military and he was on a bomber that crashed in the Pacific Ocean, and he went into a raft with a couple of his buddies, and he promised God that if God would get him home, if God would get him out, that he would serve him. And he did. Can I say this? Not everybody that makes promises to God keeps them. How do you know? I've made a couple. Anybody else? Amen, oh me? You don't have to say amen. But here, the psalmist, there's a couple specific promises here. If you look, verse 171, he says here, he's talking, really it's in regards to his prayers. He said, you know, give me understanding and deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter what? Praise. So what does he promise? To praise the Lord. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? We sure have a lot to praise the Lord about. Amen. We sure do. Ah, boy. I just that prayer request you gave, Miss Fan. As far as I know, none of my kids have leukemia. You say, could you praise the Lord if they did? I hope so. But you know, I sure can praise the Lord they don't have it. They're healthy. I have to spend a little time this afternoon with my daughter. She's in this phase. She says, we're on the big bed. She says, watch this, Daddy. Falls down on the bed. You know, you watch that one time, you've seen it all. Watch this, Daddy. Watch this 15 times later. Watch this. You know what I ought to be doing? Praising God that she's healthy. Praising God that God has been so good to me, been so good to our church. We're going to have our business meeting tonight. I tell you what, you look at those figures and I say, praise God! Amen. Praise God for answered prayers. He says here, we have the prayer, the promises. He promises to praise the Lord. And then in verse 172, he says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. Not only does he promise to praise the Lord, but he promises to proclaim the word. That's a promise we ought to make. Why? Somebody proclaimed it to us. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. There's no Calvinist theology. You didn't bump into God by mistake. Somebody purposed to get you the Word of God. Somebody. I've told it before. I hope it doesn't get boring. I love my testimony. I could see Big Bob Barnes. Not a handsome man. My heavens. This tall. This wide. He looked like just a gigantic bear. And he gave me the Word of God that day. Pulled those gospel tracts out of his pocket. He said, "Hey, I want to give you something to read." I said, "Thanks." And I jammed them in my back pocket with no intention of reading them. God knows otherwise. Yeah. Oh, boy, I've got a message, Brother Brown. I almost forgot you were preaching on Sunday. I was going to preach it. I'm going to preach it next Sunday. Amen. On the parable of the sower. Sower went out to sow his seed, and some fell. Why? Because he was sowing. He was sowing. He promises to proclaim the Word. Just even today, talking to that fellow, Ron is his name. If you think of it, pray for him. A friend of the Talberts, the agnostic fellow, Ron. He was talking about, well, how can you know and how can you know? And you know what? I honestly said to him, I said, there's only one way you can know, and it's by faith. And I quoted Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You know, Brother Horsch, I didn't get through the Romans Road with him, but I proclaimed the Word a little bit, just a little bit. Think about that funeral we did last Friday, brother. You know, we got to proclaim the Word a little bit, didn't we? Some folks promised. Boy, he promised to proclaim the Word. Not only to praise the Lord, but to proclaim the Word. So number one is, Lord, hear me. And then Roman numeral number two, in the last four verses there, Lord, what does he say there? He says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Verse 173 says, let thy hand help me. So not only is the plea for two items, Lord, hear me, but also, Lord, help me. We have four items here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one says, Lord, save me. Verse 173 says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. He asks for God's hand of help. When you think about the hand of God, and that's just such a neat study in itself, the actual hand of God. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Remember Peter and Jesus walking on the water? And Peter says, if it be thou, bid me to come. And I love the Lord's response, come. You know, we pick on Peter a lot, but he's the only one that got out of the boat, ladies and gentlemen. He's the only one that wasn't divine that actually walked on water. And you remember what happened? He's walking towards the Lord, and then he got his eyes off the Lord. And it got boisterous, and he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down with his hand and saved him. I'm glad for when I got saved. I said, Lord, save me. I need to be saved. And I didn't feel the actual hand of God, but I know it's there. I know it's there. And so he says, save me, number one. Number two, if you look at verse 174, he says there, I have longed for thy salvation, and thy law is my delight. Not only, Lord, help me, save me, but Lord, help me, satisfy me. Satisfy me. Oh, the Word of God. We live in such an unsatisfied generation. Such a, got to have more, got to have more, got to have more, got to have this, got to have that. And boy, I'll tell you what, boy, just saying, Lord, satisfy me. And it's not just, Lord, satisfy me, but it's your Word that satisfies that those deep longings of our heart. Lord, satisfy me. Thy law is my delight. I'm sure you could say that there were times in your life where the Word of God wasn't your delight, it was your duty. But boy, there are other times when it's like God's making you fresh, warm bread from heaven. Right there as you're reading it. Thank God. He says there, Lord, help me, save me. Then he says, satisfy me. Verse 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have point three here. Lord, help me, save me, satisfy me, strengthen me. It says there, what does he say? He says, let thy judgments help me. Let them help me. Let them strengthen me. Think about how our faith is strengthened. How is it strengthened? Through eating the Word of God. We become stronger. Amen. And then number four and last of all, he says, Lord, help me, save me, satisfy me, strengthen me. Says, I have gone astray. Imagine that after this whole chapter of the Word of God. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. You know what? If this psalmist can say that, we could say that. Huh? What does he say there? He says, seek thy servant. Please, don't let me go too far. So not only save me, satisfy me, strengthen me, but seek me. Seek me. And you think of the parable that Jesus gave to the Pharisees about the lost sheep. What did the shepherd do? He left the 99 and sought the one. Aren't you glad that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost? I know He did that for me. Thank the Lord. Amen. Father, thank You for this wonderful chapter of Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Bless now as we, Lord, conclude our service and Lord, have our business meeting. Lord, I pray that You just bless all at hand. And Lord, thank You again for all that You give. Thank You for Your wonderful Word. Thank You for Your blessings upon each and every one of us tonight. Pray that You'd, Lord, just continue to be with us now. Thank You for all that You give. In Jesus' name, amen. How